If you travel to the fields and the country lanes in the springtime, you will see farmers and gardeners alike busy sowing seeds in the newly prepared soil. And if you stop and you ask them what kind of produce they were expected to reap from the seeds that they were sowing, they'd look at you really funny, and they would tell you that they weren't expecting at all. They would tell you that it's common sense that their produce will be what they're sowing, wheat or barley or corn or turnips, as the case may be. And they would also tell you that they sow their crops for the very purpose of reproducing a particular crop. Every fact and process in nature contains a moral lesson for those who would see it. For you see, there is no law in the physical world that doesn't operate with the same certainty in our minds and in our lives. Across the spiritual traditions, many parables illustrate this truth. What thoughts, what words, what acts are you sowing? Thoughts and words and acts are seeds. Seeds that are sown every day. And by the invariable law of things, they produce the kind of life they promise. Those thinking hostile thoughts bring hatred upon themselves, while those thinking loving thoughts are loved. The persons whose thoughts and words and deeds and actions are sincere is surrounded by sincere friends, while on the other hand, the person who is insincere is surrounded by those who are also insincere. Those who sow wrong thoughts and deeds and then pray that God will bless them are in the same position as a farmer who, having sowed weed seeds, asks God to bring him a harvest of beautiful crop of wheat. Here's a little poem by James Allen that you might find helpful to remember. He says, "That which ye sow, ye reap. See yonder fields? The sesame was sesame, the corn was corn, the silence and the darkness knew. So is man's fate born. We become reapers of the things we sow." Those who would be blessed, let them scatter blessings, and those who would be happy, let them cultivate the happiness of others. And there's another side to the seed sowing. Farmers must scatter most of their seeds upon the fields, and they leave them to the elements in order to eventually harvest their crops. If they were to hoard their seeds, they would not grow the produce, and their seeds would lose their vitality, and they would dry up, and they would die. Now, seeds do die when the farmer sows it. Most certainly that's the case. But in the right place, under the right conditions, it brings forth great abundance. And so it is in life. We get by giving. We grow rich by scattering gratitude and blessings. Those that say that they have knowledge that they can't share because the world is not capable of receiving it, they either don't really have it, or if they do have it, they'll soon be deprived of it. To hoard is to lose. To keep exclusively to yourself is to be dispossessed. Even those who want to increase their material wealth must be willing to part with and invest what capital they have. So as long as they hold on to their precious money, They will not only remain poor, but they will grow poorer each and every day. They will, after all, lose the thing that they love the most, and they will lose it without any increase. But if they wisely let it go, if they scatter their seeds of gold, like the farmers sow their seeds, then they can faithfully wait for and reasonably expect the increase. Some ask God to give them peace and purity and righteousness and blessedness, but they never get them. They don't get them because they're not practicing them. They're not sowing them. I know you must have knowledge of some individual or individuals who very earnestly ask for forgiveness, and in the next breath, the same sentence, voice the opinion that we should show no mercy to our enemies. This kind of self-delusion is pitiful, but some have yet to learn that the way to obtain peace and blessedness is to scatter peaceful and blessed thoughts, words, and deeds. Some believe that they can sow seeds of strife, lack of clarity, and faithfulness, and then gather a rich and beautiful harvest of peace and clarity and harmony by merely asking for it. I know you all know someone like this. I do. I've known this individual for 67 years. She's 87. For 87 years, she has been negative and mean and rude and unkind. She's abused her children emotionally and physically, as well as her husband. She has been referred to as being as mean as a snake and as having the mouth of a sailor on shore leave. She can never find a kind word for anyone. She believes that God has cursed her with being deaf, with being ill, with having two rotten husbands, and the list is endless. She's been thrown out of a Hallmark store, for goodness sake. She's been thrown out of an optometrist's office. And her doctor of 40 plus years divorced her. I have the opportunity to meet quite regularly with this person. And every time we meet, I get to hear a litany of all of the things that are wrong in her life and how God has mistreated her and abused her for all of her years. And about 2 years ago, I said to her, you know, those rotten husbands that you married, those are husbands that you chose. God didn't give you those husbands. You chose them. She looked at me with her half-closed eyes and that look on her face, and she said, are you trying to tell me that all of this is my fault? I thought she got it. I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, that it's your choices and your attitude. And she has a way about her. She turned her head, stuck her nose up in the air, and she didn't look at me the whole rest of her lunch. The conversation made no difference at all. She's not going to change. She is who she is. We learn to live with it. But I have to say that whenever we're around her, it's like being under a dark cloud. She sucks the life out of you. She's reaping what she sowed over years of this life and probably of previous lives as well. She doesn't see it. She's 87, she's in poor health, and she'll be back. And unfortunately for her, and hopefully not for me, she'll still be reaping what she sowed in this lifetime. There isn't a more pathetic sight than to see an irritable, old, argumentative person praying for peace or love or abundance. We reap what we sow, and we can reap all the blessedness now and at once if we can put aside our selfishness and sow the seeds of kindness and gentleness and love. If you're feeling troubled or you're feeling perplexed or if you're feeling sorrowful or unhappy, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What mental seeds are you sowing? Are they seeds of trouble and sorrow, or are they seeds of gratitude and love? What is my attitude toward others? What have I done for my family and my friends? Or maybe take it a step further and ask yourself, what have I done to my family and friends? And finally, ask yourself this: am I reaping joyous fruits from my beliefs, from my thoughts, from my actions toward others, or am I reaping bitter weeds? Seek within yourself, and you shall find. And having found, abandon all the seeds of the small self, or the little I, and sow only the seeds of truth from this moment forward. Just look to the farmers and the gardeners and see the simple truth of this wisdom. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Cast your bread upon the water, and it comes back to you 100-fold. It's a very simple message. It's not complicated. It's not deep. But often it's misunderstood and understated. In the garden season, you can only harvest what you plant. If you plant tomatoes, you're going to reap tomatoes. If you plant corn, green peppers or cucumbers, that is what you will harvest. And the same is true in our lives. As the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap life everlasting. It's not just enough to know the Word of God. The most important thing that we can do is to know the God of the Word. It is important that we sow continually to the Spirit so that we may experience the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 11:4 reminds us, "He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap." In the story of Noah, we are told that after the flood, God told Noah, as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest. They shall not cease. Seed time and harvest are never going to end. This is true in every single aspect of our lives. When God created plants which had seed within themselves, he said, "It is good." He said it is good when he saw that everything he had made had the ability to reproduce. And when he had finished, he pronounced that it was very good. Many of us could learn a really good lesson from the first chapter of Genesis, just in knowing God said it was good and very good. Know this. Your words are your seeds. The things that come out of your mouth become effective when they are communicated to someone. The words that you speak will eventually bring forth the harvest in your life. Who we are today is the result of our past. And by that I mean that our previous thoughts and our actions determine to a large extent what kind of people we become. The principle of you reap what you sow is irrevocable. There is no escape from it, and it really doesn't matter whether you know the law, whether you believe the law or not. It is the law of life. This fact is welcome news to those whose thoughts and words and deeds are good. But it is a frightening thought to those who are negative and rude and unkind and bossy and egotistical. We would never plant crabgrass and expect the harvest of pineapples. And likewise, we cannot plant discord or anger or vengeance or fear and expect to reap love or peace, joy, and wholeness. Do you know why farmers plant seeds? They plant them because they expect a harvest a great deal more than they sow. A single kernel of corn can yield dozens, scores, even hundreds of seeds. It's the same way with right thinking and with wrong thinking. A single small decision to either do a positive or a negative reaps a much bigger crop of either joy or sorrow. Jesus used agricultural images to show that when we allow God's word to produce positive qualities in us, the results multiply. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. On the other hand, the prophet Hosea describes the consequences awaiting those who choose wickedness. They sow to the wind, and they reap a whirlwind. Some of us deceive ourselves because we have not yet produced a crop, and so we continue to go down our same course, mistakenly believing that we will never have a harvest. But unlike the crops in the field, which are gathered at approximately the same time each year, there is no regular timetable for the harvest of life. Some results come quickly, while others take a long time. But do not be deceived. Their season will come. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. What a comforting and assuring thought to those who faithfully labor against difficult circumstances. Right living in such situations will produce a rich harvest in the future, for our Heavenly Father always keeps what He has promised. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Let's take a moment, please, to just get comfortable. Rest your feet on the floor. Place your hands comfortably in a position, maybe in your lap or at your sides. And just take a moment to relax. You might take a deep breath in and just let go. And be still. Be still and quiet your mind. Let go of everything that is outside of this holy and peaceful place. Let go of any worrisome thoughts. Let go of the to-do list. Let go of what's coming tomorrow. Anything that's swirling around in your head right now, let it go. Let go of anger and resentment, jealousy. Be still. Be very, very still. And go within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with unconditional love and peace. Gracious and loving Father, you have taught me your great law that governs all of life. It is the simple law of sowing and reaping. I understand, Father, that the bread that I cast upon the water comes back to me 100-fold. Like the pebble tossed into the pond, that which I think, say, and do sends ripples out into the world that touch those near and far. The thoughts I think, the words I say, and the things I do have an impact on my immediate and my future environment and on the race consciousness as a whole. I know that goodness produces goodness, that love produces love, that joy multiplies joy. Kindness given is kindness received. Peace practice is peace spread and shared. You and I are one, Father, and because this is so, I am the embodiment of all that you are. All that you are is good and perfect, and to the degree that I abide with you, I too am good and perfect. Open my eyes, Father, that I may see more clearly, and open my heart that I might love more purely. Let me sow the seeds of goodness, of peace and joy, and let me sow the seeds of love, not for my benefit, but that the world may experience your goodness and receive the blessings of your love, your peace and your wisdom and wholeness. For the awareness of your omnipresent goodness, most gracious and loving Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious to you, and he lifts your consciousness, and he gives you his peace. Amen.